Welcome back, The Lighter Side. I'm Joe Grammatico, alongside with Tom Kaliopoulos, as always. This week, not knowing when we're going to see the NHL draft, we decided to talk a little bit about the NHL draft and the prospects. So Tom, welcome. I see you're excited getting in there already.
Yeah, sorry, I jumped in on you there, Joe. It's like the show's going to be dynamic. Very excited to talk about some of the new young stallions coming into the league, and I'm excited for the draft because it's a pretty deep one.
Yeah, so that's it's always fun and exciting. A lot of people follow. Unless you're a diehard, you're not watching the entire year to see who's coming up, who the next wave of guys are. You know, the better teams really don't worry about it because they don't get to draft the high end talent, but. Like you said, there's a lot of talent in the draft, and there's some guys that have made their way pretty significantly up the draft board, you know, this season. So we're going to do, there's a lot of draft sites out there. There's a lot of experts. Everyone does their rankings and submits them. So for this discussion, we're going to take the top five prospects, and we're going to take them from the Elite Prospects site, eliteprospects.com. They rated the top 31 players throughout the world, all regions, North America, Europe, Russia, and in the European leagues. So we're going to use those. Obviously, there's some differences on every ranking board, but just to keep the discussion consistent, here's what we'll hit on. So we'll start with the number one prospect. This guy's been number one on everyone's board going back to last year's draft as kind of the guy that was going to be the pick in 2020 for whatever team that might be. Alexis Lafreniere of the Rimouski Oceanic of the QMJHL. He put up 112 points this season, a left winger, shoots left. He had a great showing, 10 points in 5 games at the World Juniors. What do you like about Alexis? And do you agree? I think you will, that he's still the number one guy in this draft class.
Definitely. Great player. Saw a lot of film on this guy. And Joe, I just want to make a disclaimer on all these players. You know, obviously, people that you go to these sites and people that are doing these forecasts, these so-called experts and everything. I mean, you're seeing the highlight reels, which can be misleading. I think you really get your best gauge seeing these players day in and day out through the course of a game, a week, a season, just to see how they're doing when their team's down. You know, how they're doing when their team has a big lead, how they're interacting with their teammates, all this stuff that these experts have, unless you're there in every minute of and soaking in this kind of thing, you're not going to be able to tell for sure. So when you and I are discussing these players, it's based on what we're seeing, partial films and stuff like that. But what I've seen from this guy, Joe, he's the real deal. The thing that I'm impressed most about him for a superstar, he's not one-dimensional. And for a top player, and you know, people talked about Crosby coming out of the same program. He talked about his scoring prowess and everything, but what I think what makes Sid such a dangerous player still, and probably still, I would probably rank him the number one player in the world still because he still does everything well, is he doesn't let physicality take him off his game. He plays a lot like Crosby in that regard, this Lafreniere, the same way. He's physical. He's not afraid to get 6'1" frame, which, by the way, when he started these draft boards and he started becoming a guy that was a projected number one, he was about 192. The guy's put on like 11 pounds of muscle. He's up to like 203, 204 right now. which will bode well for him, because that's the only knock I had on him was maybe his upper body strength. His core strength is solid. You see him, he's heavy on the puck, doesn't get knocked off the puck. His low core center of gravity is awesome, much like Crosby's, much like a Marchand, you know. This guy is, he's 6'1", so it's not like he's hurting for size. And I like him because he's got a great IQ for the game. He goes to hard areas, and he can facilitate the puck. He's also a guy that doesn't, not only knows the net and how to put the puck in the net, but he has great vision. I've seen him do no-look passes, look off guys, and you can't teach that stuff. That's instinct, and that's just knowing the game and being confident in your abilities. And I'm excited about, man, if the Wings get the number one pick, people should rejoice here, because it's going to be an instant stadium filler, a seat filler, because this guy's going to make everybody better. And if they get that guy, I think the Wings will be a playoff team that will contend for a playoff spot and could make some noise in the playoffs, even with a guy like that.
Good. So one thing I wanted to ask, at the World Juniors, he took a pretty nasty knee-on-knee hit. He missed a game. I don't remember if he missed his two games. I think it was just one. But when you got a young player like that, 18 years old, that takes a knee-on-knee hit like that, is that something, one, you have to worry about long term, something popping up, and two, is that something that gets in a kid's head where they might shy away from plays in the neutral zone, knowing that something like that's happened to them already?
That's a great question, Joe, because as everybody knows, and maybe they don't know, sometimes these injuries these players get, it's, and we talked about this with Stamkos. I mean, it's one thing to do your rehab and get better and mend and be able to get back on the ice, but you also got to do rehab in between the years. Now, I believe a lot of why he sat out, it's not a testimony to maybe him being soft or anything, or not being able to take physicality, much like people were questioning Jack Hughes on the same thing, you know, his durability, because the same thing happened to him in the tournament, World Juniors, I think the year before that. However, the guy came back and he still, punched 2 points a game, and didn't let it affect his play. He was still getting in greasy areas after this knee on knee. It was pretty scary. I saw the play on film, and, I'm sure everybody was holding their breath because he was writhing in the corner on the ice for a pretty long time. And his recovery, I think he came back that tournament and didn't miss a beat, really. He just led his team. And, that's another thing. That's he just put a check mark, mental toughness right there. It's that's a good question because I'm sure scouts really took note of that.
All right. The next guy ranked number two, and he's kind of sat at number two all season. I really like this guy. I think I've told you this before. He's 17. He's not going to be 18 till middle of August. He's a centerman. He stands at 6'4", 6'5", depending who you talk to. Well over 200 pounds already as a 17-year-old. Quentin Byfield. He put up 82 points for Sudbury in the OHL. As I said, he's a center. He did only have 1 point in 7 games at the World Juniors. Some people I talked to said this guy shouldn't be number two. He was invisible, but to his credit, much like most 17-year-olds in that under-20 tournament, they get stuck playing in a checking line role, and that's what he was doing, and he played it very well. But tell us a little bit about Quentin and what you like about him, other than his size, but definitely throw in the size part in there because he's a big kid down the middle.
Well, more than anything, Joe, and the reason I believe he stayed number two is because of his size. Let's be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. Out of the five players we're going to be discussing today, I would probably push him down to five in my eyes. And here's the reason why. I believe he's a talent, okay? He's one of these guys, like, it scares me because I'm seeing he's a good enough skater, which is rare for a guy that big. But what I'm not seeing, and you know, I'm trying to figure out who I would compare him to, from a current NHL player. And some people say it's Malkin and, or Stahl, one of the Stahl brothers. Mm-hmm. But I don't see his lateral mobility like as good as those guys. And I watch him and I see that in the O that they give him, he's led the break through the neutral zone numerous times, and you can see his speed in a straight line. But I didn't see much of his agility going east and west. And that scares me because he's not overly a physical player for the size that he has. If he had a little bit of a mean streak, I think I would be more apt to put him in that two slot where they have him sitting now, but I just don't see him as a physical player. In the NHL, he's not going to have the room he did in the OHL. He's going to have to take bodies. So I think the reason I bring up is the agility going side to side, he's going to have to improve that. So I think that's going to make his adjustment to the NHL maybe a little bit more difficult because of that. So that's the only reason I sour on him. Would I still draft him? Absolutely, if I was top five and I got that fifth pick. However, there are a couple other guys that we'll probably be talking about in the next show, Holtz and Stutzel.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the German player there, that I might even take ahead of him. So I might have Byfield even down further, like maybe seven, but. Yeah, it's hard to not look at a guy that skates that well, and is that big. And I do definitely take into consideration that he is one of the youngest players in the draft for sure, but he's an intriguing player. Yeah, that's about all I'm going to say about him, because to me, out of the five guys we're going to be discussing, I think he'd be my biggest question mark, believe it or not. So
when you talk about for a guy like Byfield, these guys take power skating and they're still skating. They're working with their guys on their teams. And once you're drafted, obviously the team that drafts you kind of works with your team to put a plan in place. Someone like Byfield, is that something at his age that you can teach his agility, his lateral movement, or you kind of really only going to make incremental gains at this point?
No, it's something you can work on. I mean, a lot of these guys have their own personal trainers and like power skating people. They'll go to Europe and if they have to, they'll go to LA, and there's some good teachers there, and they do it in the off season, there. But that definitely is something. His foot speed and his agility will definitely. And, if he's athletic, and a lot of these guys are, I mean, it's weird to say, but yeah, he's playing hockey. He must be athletic. This is not always the case. I mean, there's guys that can play multi-sports, and there's guys that can't. Like, I know some hockey players that if you threw a basketball at them, they just, some will pick it up and naturally look like a basketball player, and then some won't. So it's kind of weird, but if this guy has any, like, multi-sport athleticism, there's no reason why he can't work on his foot speed, improve his agility, to add to that good straight line power that he already has. So yeah, he can definitely enhance that. But to me, there's a few guys in this draft, Joe, that I think can play right away.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Lafreniere is one of them, but some of these other guys on this list really impressed me, especially two of the guys. I think we're going to be discussing might be a 2-year project as well. But I think him and the one guy we're going to be talking about soon here, I think they're guys that might not see their lineups right away. It depends who drafts them too.
Right.
That's another story in itself.
Right. Yeah. So the next guy we have at number 3 on the Elite Prospects draft rankings, Marco Rossi. He's an Austrian playing in the OHL for the Ottawa 67s. 18 years old. He'll be 19 in mid-September. He led the OHL at the stoppage with 120 points, 39 goals, 81 assists. Now, he did not play on the World Juniors for Austria. I don't remember back if Austria was even in the tournament, but he did play on the under 17 team a couple years back. I think it was in 2018. He was in 2018. He put up 5 points in 5 games in the World Juniors tournament. They have him on most. I checked out some of the other draft sites, and he seems to be pretty consistently ranked 6 through 8. And I think it's because of his size. He's only 5'9", but the Elite Prospect site has him at number 3. So what do you like about Marco, a European playing in the OHL?
Well, you said it already. You brought up a word called consistently where he ranked. Well, that also kind of, what I see in him is he's consistently performing and producing game in and game out. This guy, like you said, he's only 5'9", but he's a good 200-foot player that makes an impact. And I always say, Joe, you know, these players, is like, there's certain guys, the puck just is always near them, or it fouls them. It seems to foul them. Every team has a guy like that. Well, this guy is like that. I saw a lot of Ottawa 67. I think that's the team he played with. He seemed like he's always around the puck, coming back on a back check. Smart IQ guy, another one. Actually, one more knock on Byfield, too, is, let's get back to him real quick. This is what this reminds me of, because Rossi is totally the opposite. Rossi, his motor is always going, and that's even away from the puck. So makes him a very valuable 200-foot player, which would be an asset to any NHL team right away, especially if we lack depth. You know, but once again, depends on the team he goes to. But Byfield seemed to take plays off when he was away from the puck as well. And then when he gets the puck again, he's like going like a bat out of hell. So, I kind of red flagged that once in a while. And, you know, with Rossi, though, he'd come back and he'd make the smart head play. He'd do something away from the puck that would take a passing lane away or something. And then as the puck's in transition, he's leading the break, and he's a great facilitator. The guy can pass. He's got great vision. I kind of liken him to like some Brad Marchand, but without the edge, part of his game. And maybe even he has good handles. He's got good hands. He might be a Barzell, which is a compliment in itself. But Matt Barzell is a good puck handler. And he has a quick burst in his feet like Barzell. So, there's better skaters in this draft, but this guy can skate. He's not afraid to go to the middle for his size. You know, that's one thing I was impressed with watching him on film. It's like, he had good awareness, knew where his line mates were, knew where everybody was on the ice, and wasn't afraid to go to the greasy areas to make a play or get a shot on net. And like I said, this guy can quarterback a power play too. I seen him on a diamond setup with that Ottawa ran, and most of the time when he got it, he wasn't on the wing to just fire one timers. That guy, he was making. He was facilitating from that wings, that dying spot where he was, just normally set up for guys with one timers.
Right.
And, that was pretty impressive, I must say. So yeah, definitely, he warrants the third slot for sure. And that says a lot for a guy with, a 5'9" stature for sure.
Right. Number 4 on the Elite Prospects ranking is the first guy from the European League out of Sweden, Lucas Raymond. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Being Swedish, it might have a little flair to that pronunciation. He's out of the Djurgården's team of the SHL. He started the season on the Junior 20 team and was promoted up to the main league. So he put up 10 points in 33 games. He did play in the World Juniors, had 4 points in 7 games. He's right-handed, and they have him listed that he could play either wing. So what do you like about Lucas Raymond?
Well, first of all, I like that, the fact that he can play both wings. He's done it. That's a big luxury for a team to have. Most players you think would be able to do that at the NHL level, but just some can't master it. What that tells me is he has good dexterity and eye-hand coordination. He can shoot off his front foot. He can make plays on either side. He is a great passer. Another guy that I liken to Barzal and maybe Panarin, you know, which is a high compliment. The knock on this guy is, he's not a physical guy. He tends to lose a lot of puck battles, but I attribute that right now to his age and the fact that, as you mentioned, he was promoted. So he's playing with men over in that league, and it's a Swedish league's a tough league. People think playing on a big surface, they're not playing defense over there, but no, all these guys can skate over there. Some of them leagues are kind of changing into more defensive oriented leagues that fit the North American style a lot better. So you're seeing that more now. So his numbers, I wouldn't even get concerned about the 10 points. And as he's playing minimal minutes too, kind of like Byfield did in the, you know, with the World Juniors, he was told to play a different role because of his age. Same thing with Raymond. The guy, one thing I am impressed about is his, a lot like McDavid in the sense that his speed is unbelievable through the neutral zone when he has the puck. It doesn't vary, from a guy skating without the puck. I mean, he's a very good skater. The thing I really knock on him though is his physicality and puck battles, winning those 50-50 puck battles. But he's another guy I think him along with, Byfield are going to be projects, maybe not see the NHL possibly for the first year or two. Byfield, it's hard for me to say that with a guy that's 6'4". I guess it's going to depend on the team he goes to.
Right.
And if they're willing to, you know, if they're weak through the middle.
Right.
But with Raymond, I mean, he's going to have to win puck battles on the boards in the heavy NHL, and I just don't think he's going to be ready for that. So,
yeah,
he's, no, definitely a great player.
Yeah, he's going to have to fill out a little bit. That's one thing I read of him is his explosive skating, but he's still, I don't know how much weight he put on this year, but he started the year under 170. So, yeah, to be ready, he's going to have to bulk up a little bit.
How tall is he, Joe?
He's 5'10".
Yeah, he's
still young. He just turned 18 last month.
Yeah, that's the thing. These guys are going to fill out. They could add 20 pounds of muscle and not, it won't slow them down. It'll be good muscle. So, you know, but this guy, he's got hands like unbelievable. I seen him make a move on an elite defenseman in the World Junior tournament. And, I mean, unbelievable move that you don't see too many people making under, and his body control is still, you know, just, he was able to get a nice weight distributed shot on net after he made the move. It's something that you don't see a lot of. So I totally see a lot of Panarin in him for sure. And that's a pretty good compliment right there.
The next guy, the last guy we're going to talk about today, number 5 on the prospect list, Jamie Drysdale. Yeah. He is interesting to me. Right-handed. He's a defenseman. He put up over a point a game, I believe, this season, or close to it. 47 points in 49 games for the Erie Otters in the OHL. He had 3 points in 7 games at the World Juniors. But he is ranked on the different ranking sites anywhere from 3 to 7. And the NHL Central Scouting actually has him ranked as a number 3 North American skater. So that lines him up. Right here we saw he's in the 3rd American, or actually 4th, because they got Rossi in front of him there. But Yeah, I think it's like we've talked a couple times, depending on the team need and where the teams are to draft, could you see Drysdale jumping up a couple spots in this 1-3?
Joe, I'm going to tell you right now, and you heard it, you're probably hearing it here first, I don't know, but if the Wings don't get the first pick, I would be ecstatic if they got this kid, because I would slot him in as the second player pick overall. I love this kid. I'm watching his game. He's so explosive. Reminds me a lot of a Rafalski. Has a little bit of Cal McCarr in him.
Mm-hmm.
He can skate like weight. I think he's a better skater than Quinn Hughes, and that's saying something. Has a lot of Drew Doughty in him. Not the toughest part of his game, but this kid don't need, he's not a tough player, but the way he skates, he knows, he's got a great stick, much like Lidstrom, and that's saying something. But he's deadly. He's got a deadly shot, like a little snapshot from like 20 feet. Not afraid to jump into play. Kind of reminds me of Torrey Krug a little bit, but I think he's a better skater. And this guy was skating faster. I think he backwards than a lot of guys were skating forward. So he, you know, when he did make any kind of mental error, which was rare, I mean, he made up for it with skating ability. It's just, this guy was fun to watch. This guy will play in the NHL from day one. And I'd be excited if the Red Wings got him, to be honest with you. He's only 5'11", 170, but, this guy, he's a real deal, man. I'm excited just to follow the guy in the NHL, no matter what team he goes to. So I would definitely put him right behind Lafreniere, and that's saying a lot, man. Because there's some good players in this draft.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, obviously everyone puts their rankings together, and all the experts and the guys try to piece together inside info they have. And teams try to not give up too much of that, so it's really a guess. And I mean, team need, depending what those lottery balls fall, where they're picked. And he's someone I could see, just like you said, going number two in this draft.
Y'all, it wouldn't surprise me. And I'm, you know, the Red Wings really have trouble with teams forechecking him. This kid could break that pressure and keep teams on their heels because he skates so well. I've actually seen a bunch of different players in him when I watch him. It's like he kind of reminds me of Paul Coffey in a sense when he gets that puck around the back of the net. You think players got him, like, you know, pinned in and everything, and then the next thing you know, he's 10 feet separation on him and making the outlet pass, which the Wings struggled with last year or this year. And, they, you know, it's just one of those things, man. This kid could really – help a power play too, and he just sees the game. He's a smart player away from the puck. He takes passing lanes the way. He got caught in a lot of odd man situations with a Erie team last year that gave up a lot of odd man rushes because he played with a bigger guy too. So he kind of helped that kid a lot too. So he's gonna make anybody he plays with better. He really was attentive to his partners. Play as well, which really impressed me for a junior player. I'm excited about that kid. Like I said, I'm going to be watching the draft and see where he falls, because if the Wings don't get Lafreniere, it's like they better be knocking on this guy's door, because he's the real deal, man. I love this kid.
All right. Well, next time we'll cover 6 through 10 from the Elite Prospects draft rankings, and there's a couple guys on there that could also see themselves bump up into the top five. So it's exciting. Looking forward to talking about that next time.
Joe, I mean, think about it. There's a goalie in there too that's might be in the discussion as well. And that's going to be a gamble for some teams, but this guy is supposed to be the best goaltending prospect since Carey Price. So that's a little preview for some people.
Yeah. Yep. All right, we'll see you back next time on the lighter side.